following program is brought to you by Total Theater Online. The views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the staff or management of WGBB. You're listening to the station that serves your community, 1240 WGBB. And now it's time for Dave's Gone By with David Lefkowitz.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Dave's Gone By. One solid hour, one magnificent swipe of the Timex dial, one astonishing 12 to 12 cycle of the minute hand, one hour-long journey. Actually, it's only 57 minutes, but it's virtually an hour of comedy, talk radio, music, interviews, extra views, and more, starring me, Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, playwright, theater critic, and humorist. And this is my weekly mix of serious talk, smart talk, silly talk, and whatever else feels right for the occasion. And this is an occasion, both happy and sad. Happy because it's June 1st and I'm going June buggy with spring fever. This winter, this horrible, bone-constricting winter of relentless cold and ice and misery seems a million miles away. Even though the past couple of weeks have been rainy with fall-like weather, doesn't matter. It's not 20 degrees out, it's not snowing, it's all I care about. So, the happy part is, hello June, as Ward Cleaver would say with a lascivious glint. June is busting in all over on this edition of Dave's Gone By. But it's also something of a bust here at GBB. Tough week at the radio station. I wasn't even sure I'd be on the air tonight, or any night for that matter. I can't get into the details, I don't know all the details. And I don't know all the sides of the story. In fact, during the week, I was getting so many different, incomplete, incorrect, and incoherent sides of the story. If WGBB were a jigsaw puzzle of the Mona Lisa, it would look like Guernica instead, bloodbath being the operative term. For the past 34 weeks, this being our 35th, if you stayed with me till the end of the show, and why wouldn't you? You'll hear me thank a lot of people, including my wife, the guests on the program, the engineers, and station manager Joey. She's the woman who basically gave a go-ahead for this program. She didn't produce or co-found it or anything, but she liked the idea, made some suggestions, approved of the concept, and within a month after we shook hands, Dave's Gone By was on the air on Sunday nights. And she's always been a very positive presence for me here, always harried with a zillion things to do, but never less than supportive and with a tremendous sense of optimism about the station and the future of a lot of hosts and programs here. But these have been rough times. The economy has been bushwhacked even before Bush took office. Everything became about the bottom line, the signed contract, the money rolling in, which is natural. Radio is a business, and business has always been like that. But then 9/11 came along. And the normal cyclical economic slowdown, especially after the dot-com crash, became an ongoing crisis. Now don't be fooled by the post-war stock market boom. Unemployment, cost of living, and personal income for the poor and middle class tell the real truth. And momentary tax cut aside, we're dancing on the edge of 1929 again, or maybe 1979, but too distracted by the war and bachelorette to realize it or give a crap. So Joey and other folks helping her run this radio station were forever under pressure to make more money, always chastised for not meeting corporate projections of potential income. But at the same time, to be fair, there was also a kind of hands-off attitude regarding programming. It's what allowed GBB to create such an oddball schedule, as bizarre but intriguing as any public access channel. You might have Entertainment Long Island and Dave's Gone By going very well back-to-back, but then a gospel preacher would scream about Jesus for an hour. And then rap music, a fishing show, another screaming preacher, a psychic program, a dating advice show, and a 1950s doo-wop program. Now understand, most of these shows are leased time or barter programming, sponsored by their own producers. But they still gave the station a certain identity and local feel. I sat in the control booth during Halftime Howie one night, and 50 calls must have come in from area high school kids voting on their favorite player of the week. They didn't have much to say, but they sure burned up the phone lines. And 3 minutes after that show was over, it was time for an hour of Greek music, coming up behind. Sorry. So whether all these programs brought in enough cash, or as much cash as they could, considering the station's weak signal and complete lack of promotion or advertising, I don't know. Was there a potential to build GBB into a station that people would turn on at 6 o'clock at night and leave running in their cars, their stores, their homes till after midnight? It really is debatable. We're decades past the days of the MCA good guys, the oldies crew at CBS-FM, the NEW make-believe ballroom. It's naive to grasp at remnants of an old-fashioned community radio station. You have to pick for it amid the rubble of Top 40, morning zoos, and well-funded special interest groups. You have to pray for it before the FCC hands Clear Channel, Fox, and Multicultural Broadcasting the keys to the universe. All the same, even in this climate, there was a family feeling at WGBB, a dysfunctional Appalachian family, but still, a feeling that it wasn't so much a soulless purveyor of audio goods, but a home, a voice for eclectic tastes, a venue for everything from teenagers shooting the bull to conservative pundits riding the elephant. And so it has remained and will remain, presumably, for the time being, but something's different. That something being the exit of station manager Joey. She left WGBB this past week under not the most amicable circumstances. Again, I can't get into the minutiae of station politics, especially since I know so little of the whole story, I'd probably get half of it wrong. Hasn't stopped the New York Times recently, but it does stop me. What I can say is that things finally came to a long building head this week, and she's gone. 8 years of her life, thousands of hours of her soul, all down to boxes in the hallway and a sense of creeping blight now that she's gone. Now, some of the shows she put together and helped develop are gone with her. A couple of the engineers and several hosts are gone, too. Joey really was a slave to this place, a willing slave, but a slave just the same. I hope management realized that. I hope they understood the 4 zillion little things she did, day to day, from keeping the logs to courting the advertisers to scheduling to ordering supplies. And I'm sure management did appreciate the pressure she was under to both make money and somehow create a cohesive format when this Baptist church would buy this hour and then a rap group would buy the next hour and then comic book collectors would chat for a half hour after that. Joey bent over backwards, forwards, and sideways to keep the owner of WGBB from flipping a switch and saying, okay, Chinese radio 24/7, which could happen tomorrow. I thought it might happen today. Thankful that it didn't. What's more likely is GBB will stay up for a while, but eventually the Merrick location will be gutted and everything will be broadcast out of West Babylon, where the owners have a sister station that might simulcast, might not. It could take a few months, but it's pretty much inevitable. Until then, it's end times here. Dancing on the Titanic, singing on the Shuttle Columbia, making love in the Twin Towers. It's all over, but a few more months of shouting. Hopefully, I'll be shouting here until the bitter end. And the first thing I'll yell is, farewell, Joey. Thanks for working so hard. Thanks for caring so much. Thanks for being so special.
His eyes to the tune of an accordion. Always on the outside of whatever side there was. When they ask him why it had to be that way, well, he answered, just because. Larry was the oldest, Joey was next to last. They called Joe crazy, the baby they called Kid Blast. Some say they lived off gambling and running numbers too. It always seemed they got caught between the mob and the man in blue.
Gone By, still coming at you Sunday nights at 8. Of course, Bob Dylan talking about a very different Joey there, but still. Hard to tell week to week what will happen with this radio station, let alone with my show. I'm contracted till the end of June and have been told that will be honored. And if things settle down and, God help us, improve, who knows? But so many things are being shifted and shafted and fashookled this week, there's really no telling what next week will look like, not to mention the summer and fall. So, if you're a fan of the show and want to be kept apprised of where it'll be, make sure you get on the Dave's Gone By mailing list. Just email me at davesgoneby@aol.com. That's Dave's Gone By, no apostrophe, @aol.com, and we'll put you on the mailing list to let you know when and where you can hear this program. Now, remember, the mailing list isn't sold to anybody or used for any kind of advertising or marketing purposes. It's just our way of keeping contact with all the listeners to the show, members of the Bystanders Club, sponsors, supporters. So now, more than ever, if you ever wanted to show your support for this program, send an email, davesgoneby@aol.com, and we'll send you an email back keeping you posted on what time and day the next episode will be. And if the show eventually has to leave this radio station and maybe find a home at another venue or just on the internet, we'll let you know that too. Now again, I repeat, I'm operating on the assumption that the show remains where it is, Sundays, 8 p.m. Nothing's changed in the immediate future. Don't automatically assume that I won't be here at this time next week. I probably will. But if I'm not, don't panic. I might have moved to another slot. Way to know for sure, email me or check my website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. If you forget the URL, just Google search Dave's Gone By, and we're right up top. Now, I mentioned other changes here. Maybe you checked out some of the other shows I've either been promoing in the commercial breaks, or you just left the dial at 1240 on and happened on some other programs that tickled your fancy and fancied your tickle. Well, a couple of those are gone, too. Entertainment Long Island with Don Lewis. My show and his were almost twinned for a while because we both started at nearly the same time. Don came in about 2 weeks before I did, and we both dealt with humor and entertainment. We talked about the theater. Don's show moved into more of an hour of live music and folksy joke-telling. Dave's Gone By became the talk radio music comedy mishmash you know and love. But there was definitely a symbiosis between the programs. And Don was always very supportive of my show, doing lengthy promos and forever crediting my lovely wife Joyce, his words, as well as mine, for coming up with the title, Dave's Gone By. Don loved doing his show, I know that, but he was disappointed that there was just no support system here for a program like his, or for any show. It was all catch as catch can, and every host his own desert island. Don's show was on just before mine when I first got here, and after a couple of time switches, he ended up on the air before me again, Sundays at 7. But his last live show was a couple of weeks ago, and he's opted not to stay on. I hope he turns up again locally. He has a great radio voice, a very smooth and natural persona. If ever there was someone right for doing an all-day kind of leave-it-on-at-the-barbershop radio show of standards and local commercials, it's Don, and I wish him well. And then there's Israel Crespo, a new guy, really great guy who just started a month ago with his program On the Edge, very much a Joey-initiated project. It was a program about, well, human rights, really, about being sensitive to factors of race and gender, drunk driving, sexual politics. He was just starting to find his voice with the show, a real public service of a program, and alas, that has gone by the wayside. I'm sure Iz will turn up on the air somewhere pretty soon, perhaps on this program, because I've asked him to call in a little later in the show to be interviewed. But also saying goodbye to Real Time Radio, I think. I don't think they'll be on tonight. And that's a fun show. Mellow hip-hop music and amusing banter from a bunch of good folks. Also a relatively new program. They were on closer to midnight, which may be where I'll wind up if my time slot changes. I wish the Real Timers well. Now, I'm not sure who else is part of the great exodus. I know Joe Salzone is staying with the station. He's actually helping engineer Tom run the place and may end up doing the engineering on my show for however many weeks we have left. Which brings me to one more person whom I know is leaving WGBB. Now, this one would be in many ways the toughest if I didn't also know that we're going to continue as friends and possibly do more radio work together in the future. Of course, I'm talking about Engineer Paul. He's been behind the board for 32 of my past 34 programs. He's weird, he's scattered, he's infuriatingly unfocused, and he's also an extremely capable and resourceful engineer, often keeping the equipment and wires of this radio station running on sheer spit and chewing gum. Even Joey probably didn't appreciate all the tricks and jiggles Paul would finagle to do remotes and to have this place sound like a professional radio station, even though it looks like the rec room of a rundown youth center. And Paul has always been sort of a partner in crime on this show, totally with the humor, offering good advice, archiving the programs, helping me out with studio time, really supporting Dave's Gone By in ways that went far beyond his obligations as an engineer. And he's also got a heart as big as, no, a lot bigger than the nautical mile, that's for sure. Paul's already got another gig lined up in upstate New York, but I think he has some plans locally as well in the nascent stages. As I said, we're going to remain pals and probably work together on a few things. Life goes on, it just goes on differently. And though the life of this program is now week to week, this week we still have a lot of great stuff to get to. I hope to have some of the folks I mentioned call in and chat before the hour's up, plus the more typical Dave's Gone By mix of comedy, talk radio, and music, including our popular weekly feature, The News Gone By, a weekend updating look at what's going on in the world, and a segment I haven't done in a while, Dave Goes Off, wherein I expound and expand upon some topic that gets my goat or shears my sheep. And this week, it's the MTA. I think we all have a gripe with them. Now, I'll keep my language family-friendly, even though I'm so tempted not to, but listeners should be aware that this show is rated DGB 13. Nothing too inappropriate or FCC 21, but if you have little ones running around, you might want to staple them to the carpet and bring your radio to another room. If you're not getting this show clearly on your radio, and considering it's WGBB, you're probably not. But if you're out of close listening range, remember that you can still hear Dave's Gone By live streaming on the internet at WGBB.com. Just go to the website, WGBB.com, click the button for online radio, make sure the little play triangle is clicked instead of the stop square, and you should hear my show blasting through your hard drive. And we'll take a hard drive through the rest of the show, starting with a look at the MTA right after this. Performing Arts Insider, three words that represent a whole world of entertainment found on Broadway, off-Broadway, cabaret. Hundreds of productions to see and enjoy. But how can you keep them all straight? Performing Arts Insider, the guide to everything that's happening on the stages of New York. For six decades, Performing Arts Insider has been a bible of the industry. Each issue lists hundreds of shows, who wrote them, what they're about, who's in the cast, the designers, the producers, box office info, parental guides, reviews of what's good, what's bad, and why. Plus, listings for opera, dance, and awards, too. As the chief editor of Backstage put it, Performing Arts Insider puts all the facts at your fingertips. To subscribe or get a sample issue, call 516-295-1511 or go to www.totaltheater.com and click on Performing Arts Insider. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's 8:19 p.m. Time for a segment called Dave Goes Off. Basically, where I get to rant and rave about something for a couple of minutes, and you get to listen. Tonight, it's the clickety-clack of the train on the track. Weren't MTA fare hikes supposed to be rolled back by now? Didn't the judge give the Metropolitan Transit Authority 2 weeks to push back the exorbitant increases that went into effect May 1st? Oh, that's right. They're appealing the decision, and there's a stay in place until the next ruling, which means we have to live with subways and buses going from $1.50 to $2, the railroad jumping nearly $1 a trip each way, and the step-up fare for purchasing tickets on the train going to an outlandish $3. It's like developers buying a landmark property they want to knock down and put up a shopping mall over. Now, the first thing they do, legal or not, is tear the old place down as fast as possible. That way, when people protest, when it goes to the courts, the developers can say, look, maybe we were wrong to move so fast, but no use crying over spilled buildings. It's down already, so we might as well just finish what we started. And that's just what the MTA has done with its fare hikes, even though they were caught with two sets of accounting books, one showing a far greater deficit than the other. Now, the Transit Authority has given a zillion reasons why, even though they lied like thieves, the increases should stay in place. One of them is the tremendous amount of money and manpower it would take to roll back the fare increases in all the machines and turnstiles. Well, that's funny. A friend of mine bought a railroad ticket late in the day on April 30th, and then another just after midnight on May 1st. Somehow, as if by magic, the numbers changed. No fuss, no muss, no 10,000 laborers struggling with a massive iron fare wheel deep in the mines of Manhattan. No, I'm sure somebody flipped a switch at Grand Central Station and everything old was new again. But the MTA also says that even though their numbers were misleading, they really do need a fare hike that size to stay afloat. But I don't know, let's say I go into a furniture store to buy a new couch for the radio station. As if. No, but let's say I do this, and the couch costs $2,000, tax and delivery included. So I go to the station manager, whoever that is, and I say, give me $2,000, I'll go to the store and buy the couch. Station manager writes me a check, as if, and I go to the store and buy it. Next day, the station manager reads the paper and sees an advertisement for the furniture store. And there's the couch, not on sale, but at the regular store price of $1,300. Says the station manager, why did I give you $2,000 to buy something that costs $1,300? I think quickly. I say, well, don't forget, there's tax on delivery. She thinks even more quickly and says, all that should cost is another $150, maybe $200 at the most. What about the extra $500? And I say, well, you might need the couch repaired next year. And she takes my index finger and plugs it directly into the control board to let 6,000 volts correct my math. Sounds absurd, but apply that to what's going on with the buses and rails. The MTA told everyone they need a $2,000 couch when they only need a $1,300 couch, and they gouged us all for $3,000. Now they're saying it's not worth punishing them for their lies because the money comes out of our pockets anyway. Well, the best story, though, comes right out of the mouth of MTA Chairman Peter Calico, and I'm not making this up. At a business meeting with the West Side Chamber of Commerce, Calico tried to put his own spin on the fare hikes, and he tried to do so using a symbolic example from his grandfather's childhood. His grandpa was in Russia, Siberia, or somewhere delightful like that. It was minus 10 degrees, said Calico. This is a quote. My grandfather was bundled up, and the snow was 40 feet high. Then, all of a sudden, he had to take a pee. What does he do? If he unbuttons his 50 layers of clothing, he'll freeze to death. He doesn't want to do that, so he says, let me just go. Remember, I am still quoting Peter Calico here. This is what he is telling the Chamber of Commerce, a story about his grandfather peeing on himself. The urge was now gratified, Calico continued. It felt warm and comfortable and soft. And Grandpa said, this is pretty good. Then, minutes later, it freezes. As all the New York businessmen shifted uncomfortably in their seats, they tried to make sense of what the hell the MTA chairman was talking about. I mean, I get it. He's trying to explain that rolling back the fare hikes now will only be a temporary relief. They're bound to go up in a couple of months or rise even higher to compensate for the lost revenue during the rollback. But what this idiot doesn't get is that pulling back the fare hikes now means we pay less now. And if the MTA wants to fight for fare hikes next year, using true, legitimate accounting figures and open public meetings, so be it. But to say, well, we might as well screw you now because we'll end up screwing you later, is the height of arrogance and greed masquerading as concern. Or, to put it in a metaphor Peter Calico would understand, if you're a commuter, there's no use peeing your pants, because the MTA's just going to piss all over you anyway. And if you think I'm done ranting about the state of the world, you haven't heard the news gone by, but you will if you stay tuned. Pat Benatar has a fan club, Hudson Leak has a fan club, and I don't even know who the hell he is. So I'm darn proud that Dave's Gone By has a fan club, The Bystanders, where you get neat stuff like a weekly special email, an autographed membership card, eligible for discounts on show merchandise, and a one-hour best-of audio tape. with gems from the show and maybe even stuff we couldn't put on the radio. Plus, you got a Dave's Gone By on-the-air greeting. I'll say your name and mention your company or service. Or I'll send out a birthday, anniversary, or get-well wish to the person of your choice. Pretty good fan club, huh? And it's only $12 to join. For the email, the best of audio tape, the on-air greeting, just make a $12 check or money order payable to Total Theater and send it to Box 62, that's 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. If you join via PayPal, use the email address davesgoneby@aol.com. Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. It's 8:25 p.m. and time for the news gone by, a look at events of the past week from a dismantled distance. In music news, Mike McCready, guitarist for the Seattle mega band Pearl Jam, admitted last week that for 15 years he's been suffering from Crohn's disease. Now, that's an inflammation of the small intestine that causes abdominal pain, rectal bleeding, and sudden and frequent diarrhea. McCready says the debilitating illness often affects the way he approaches a gig with a band. Playing on stage, I'm always aware where the bathrooms are, he says. When Crohn's hits, I have to run or it won't be pretty. McCready even admitted that when Pearl Jam opened for the Rolling Stones in 1997, 5 minutes before they went on in Oakland, he had an attack. He ran to lead singer Eddie Vedder and begged the band to open with a slow number where the lead guitar wasn't that important. And the band did. McCready sat out the first song, literally, squatting in a portable toilet. The disease can be humiliating and restricting, McCready told a meeting of the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation of America. You can do everything you think is right, and it can still come back. McCready was nervous about his speech, but when it was over, he wiped his brow and said, "Whew, that's a load off," and everyone backed away from him. Now, McCready's illness does shed new light on some of Pearl Jam's best-known songs, including Off He Goes, Push Me, Pull Me, Release, and, of course, Even Flow. Strange moment in the sky over Britain's Luton Airport this week. Instead of hearing landing instructions, pilots heard the cries and squeals of an infant. Authorities worked 12 hours to track the frequency and discovered that a couple's baby monitor was somehow broadcasting over flight patterns. The FAA said the problem caused no real danger, since the pilots could switch to another signal. Still, the passengers were a little dismayed to see stewardesses running back and forth to the cockpit, bringing diapers, rattles, and a warm baba. Speaking of the Skyway, Barbara Streisand is suing an aerial photographer for taking pictures of her Malibu home and surrounding area. She says that publishing the photos constitutes a violation of her privacy, and she's suing the Shutterbug for $10 million. In related news, Star Jones, co-host of TV's The View, is also suing an aerial photographer for taking pictures of her from 10,000 feet away and not having to use a telephoto lens. In Pomona, California, a woman was arrested for putting her 2-year-old daughter in a washing machine. 2 washing machines, in fact. Surveillance cameras at the laundromat showed the woman popping her kid in one machine. It didn't work, so she took the girl out and stuffed her in a front-loading washer, which automatically turned on when she shut the door. Bystanders who saw what happened tried to open the washer but couldn't. Luckily, a cop came by and smashed the window with his baton. The child nearly drowned but escaped with just a few serious cuts and bruises. Asked why she did what she did, the woman said, "I was just doing what any mother would do, teaching my daughter a lesson. She broke wind in public, so I was washing her intestines out with soap." On the international child-rearing front, in Berlin this week, a German court fined the woman 100 euros because her 8-year-old daughter wouldn't open her mouth at the dentist's office. A court spokesperson said, quote, "The dentist wanted to check her teeth, but the girl was afraid and refused to open her mouth, so the dentist reported her." Now, I am not sure what law the kid was breaking, but I do know that Americans are so much wiser than Europeans. Over there, they punish a little girl for keeping her lips together. Over here, if an authority figure comes up to a child and wants to stick something long and hard in her mouth, first we pray she says no, then we call the police, and then we call the diocese. Speaking of which, some nasty stuff from Newsday. Now that the newspaper has squeezed out every last drop of unholy water from their endless series about corruption in the Catholic Church, after you figure every priest, bishop, and cardinal to walk through the Rockville Center diocese has had his mugshot and fingerprints on page 3, they've finally stopped. and turn to the rabbis. This week, it's leaders in the Jewish community convicted of sex abuse. And I guess it's only fair that my people take their lumps for the bad apples, just like Catholics do. Especially when you get someone like the degenerate who molested 12-year-olds at an Orthodox sleepaway camp, or a cantor who would make lewd comments and rub the thighs of female students he was tutoring. One Long Island girl told Newsday, quote, "I can honestly say that he ruined not only my bas mitzvah, but my faith in Judaism. And my nails!" In theater news, Charlotte Caffey and Jane Wheedlin, half of the 1980s pop group The Go-Go's,
are collaborating on a new musical. Believe it or not, it's about the late, great porn star Linda Lovelace, and it's having a tryout in Los Angeles next month. Lovelace the Musical is still in the early stages.
But it looks like some of the songs are basically rewrites of old Go-Go's tunes, with the titles and lyrics revised. For example, We've Got the Beat is now We've Got to Beat Your Meat, Head Over Heels has been switched to Heels Over Head, and Act 1 ends with the big number, Our Lips Are Sealed, Around Your 9-Inch Penis. Asked how the show was going, Caffey and Wheedling said, "It's been hard, but we're prepared for a huge opening." Which brings us to Turkish condom manufacturer Condomi. They've reported the results of a survey where they learned that, surprise, Turkish men exaggerate the size of their penises. Apparently, the average Johnson size for humans is 6.8 inches. Turkish guys estimate that their own Johnsons are 8.8 inches. And they've also asked for extra, extra large size condoms. The company was even more dumbfounded when Polish men asked for the ultra, ultra small size. Spokesperson for Condomi said the mystery was solved when Polish survey takers asked for boxes of 10, saying, "Now we can warm all our toes, not just one." Here's something I don't understand. Last week, Newsday published the results of English reading tests given to 4th and 8th graders throughout Long Island. For the Hewlett-Woodmere School District, which is where I am, 86% of 4th graders passed reading. However, only 66% of 8th graders passed reading. And here's where I am puzzled. How did 20% of those kids who knew how to read forget how to read? They were reading fine when they were in 4th grade. Did they get dyslexia a couple of years later? And this is all over the island. In North Babylon, 82% of 4th graders could read. By the time they hit 8th grade, 49.8%. What, are they drinking idiot juice? It's like going to a French village. 90% of the kids ride bicycles. Come back 4 years later, they're all staring at their Schwinn's going, "I don't know, I think the wheels go on the bottom, they hit the ground, I'm not sure." Also, in local education news, a custodian in the Deer Park School District was arrested for weapons possession last week, when police raided his home and found everything from pistols to assault rifles, two of them unlicensed. They also discovered his hobby, collecting pictures, books, clothes, and banners devoted to the KKK and Nazi Party. Items found in Joseph Donato's home include a Klan hood, an Adolf Hitler doll, and an Aryan coloring book. School officials are debating what to do with Donato, who is currently free on bail. It does beg the question, what kind of job do you get a man of such low education and twisted beliefs? I mean, what kind of lousy, thankless, filthy occupation is right for this type of person? They should just make him a janitor at some middle school in the... Wait. Never mind. In local news, kind of weird how these things work out time-wise. On my very first show, 8 months ago, back in October 2002, I did a News Gone By bit about Lyle and Francine Green, a middle-aged couple who, with her brother-in-law, Dennis Green, were all arrested for having sex on the Long Island Railroad. They wouldn't stop, even when passengers complained. Well, sentencing came this week, and, wise judge, they all got off easy, probation and a small fine. The MTA, however, sensing an opportunity to gouge customers even more than their recent disputed fare hikes, have added new ticket options on the LIRR and Metro North. Not only can you purchase off-peak tickets, you can purchase off-poke tickets, entitling you to one free ride on or under the passenger of your choice. Horny seniors can now buy special getaway passes, which come with a Viagra pill, a doctor's note, and a fresh diaper with a rose in it. The LIRR's group rate has also added a group grope rate, where passengers are advised not only to watch the gap, but to dive right in it. Towards the end of the trip, All customers are requested to gather up sperm and vaginal fluids and deposit them in the nearest open receptacle. At all times, passengers are advised not only to watch where they're going, but where they're coming. And remember, passengers under 4 inches ride free. Hey, how come they've been charging me? Never mind. Continuing the news gone by, in pharmaceutical news, Bayer and Smith Kline Glaxo have announced a joint venture that's very close to FDA approval. Their new capsule, Levitra, hopes to give Pfizer, the makers of Viagra, some stiff competition. Both drugs stimulate sexual arousal by regulating blood flow to the penis. True, the era of Pfizer's dominance in the field has come to an end, but the Bob Dole OD watch is just beginning. The Los Angeles Times reports that remote areas of Sequoia National Park are being corralled into marijuana farms. They're tended by illegal aliens being funded by the Mexican drug cartel. Problem is, there just aren't enough rangers to patrol both the campgrounds and the wilderness. Or, as one resident of Yellowstone National Park put it,
"Boo-boo, we gotta get a piece of this action."
And his friend replied, "Hey, Yogi, I just went through 3 picnic baskets and I'm still hungry." And that's the news gone by for June 1st, 2003. Please send your comments, opinions, and pink slips to Dave's Gone By, P.O. Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062, or email me at davesgoneby@aol.com. We reserve the right to read your letters and emails on the air, name withheld upon request. And folks, I'll say it again. If ever there was a time to either get on our mailing list or climb on board as an advertiser or sponsor or join the Bystanders Club, it's now. Because even if things change further at the radio station, this show will continue somehow. But it needs support, it needs money, it needs positive word of mouth, it needs people saying, "Hey, Dave's Gone By would really sound great on this radio station in Los Angeles or Boston or Cleveland. I know someone who's a program director there. Maybe I can make a suggestion." It's all you. Your appreciation, your input, your support. So please be there for Dave's Gone By as we have been there for you. Drop me an email at davesgoneby@aol.com or snail mail, Box 62, Hewlett, New York, 11557-0062. Please, no management shakeups. I'm allergic. If you're a good American, that means you like to own things. Well, now's your chance. You can own a piece of my show. That's right, Dave's Gone By is ready to promote you. If you have a product, event, or service to hawk shamelessly, you can buy 30 or 60 seconds of advertising time on my show. You can even be a sponsor. Just imagine. This week's News Gone By is brought to you by you. We'll be right back after this word from your product. Advertising on Dave's Gone By is cost-effective and reaches listeners not only on Long Island, but thanks to WGBB.com all over the world. To get a piece of the Dave, call 516-295-1511 or email davesgoneby@aol.com. To see our disgustingly low ad rates, check our website, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. Remember, you could be talking to you right now. Are you listening? Are you listening, ladies and gentlemen? Dave's Gone By is back at 8:38 p.m. on this Sunday, June 1st. And if you were listening at the top of the hour, and if you weren't, why weren't you? Was mentioning just a whole lot about the chaos that had happened this week at the radio station with a management change and a lot of shows going out the door, hosts and engineers, and a lot of bad stuff that may right itself at some point, may not. One of the people that I mentioned was a new fella here who had just started his show about a month ago. His name was Israel Crespo. We all called him I called him Iz. I don't know if he liked that or not. And his show.
Of course, I like that.
Oh, my gosh, he's here. This is Iz Crespo on the phone.
Dave, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How you feeling? How you doing, Iz?
I'm hanging in despite what happened over the week. I'm doing fairly well. I'm not used to not being at the station on Sunday nights, but you know, we're all dealing.
Now, your show was called On the Edge, and it had to do, as I said, with sort of human rights and issues, but maybe you could describe it a little bit more succinctly.
It is On the Edge, and why it was named On the Edge was you know, because we're trying to take as many contemporary issues that people don't normally like to speak about and really put them at the forefront. We really try to focus on human rights, definitely. That was our number one priority, as it was to really talk about youth issues and educating parents and teachers and the community about these issues. And our slogan was, community and communication coming together to foster growth and better community, where we see the change, live the change, and know about the change, and do something with ourselves as constructively and as creative that we can.
So some of the issues that you dealt with over the month that you were here included
last week we did Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the driving records, which is unbelievably high. Thankfully, here on Long Island, the numbers have gone down in the past 3 years, but unfortunately, on a national level, they continue to rise, and the number of teens drinking and driving continues to be. It's 25% by the next 5 years. 25% of the driving class, if you will, is going to be at least 21 years of age and younger.
Yeah, I really just don't understand that, folks. If you're listening, I don't care what age you are. You've got to be real careful about that. You don't drink and drive. You drink before you drive. Have 4 or 5 beers, you know, 6 or 7 whiskeys, then get in the car. You can't do it with one hand on the wheel and one on the bottle. Just absolutely wrong.
Absolutely not. We were talking about hate crimes and the level of the heightened sense of homophobia and anti-Semitism, which continue to be a problem both for Nassau and Suffolk County. So we try to address those issues. And we had some entertainers who used their lives to talk about human rights and to make a change and force a change in their own communities. So it was a perfect forum to talk about these issues that people often either neglect or are scared to talk about. So we took that in-your-face approach. And, I mean, our show this weekend would have been perfect, and it would have probably heaped up a great deal of controversy where teenagers are engaging in risky and promiscuous sexual activities, including oral sex.
Speaking of in-your-face, yeah. Yeah.
Most definitely. But
this did sound kind of interesting. So in a nutshell, kind of what you would have done in this show about that is what? We're talking about teenagers 12 to what, 17?
12. Well, it's more, I mean, they're starting as young as 5th and 6th grade, believe it or not. And, I mean, some of the topics we were going to cover is, like, teenagers use oral sex as a way they perceive them, you know.
Are you on a cell phone? Cause it's
yes,
kinda...
I am. My cousin.
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Are you in a car, or where exactly are you? Are you having sex with a minor right now?
Because
really can't talk about it unless you do it. You know, it's only fair. Do you have a real telephone somewhere? Ladies and gentlemen... And that's why he has no more show. Okay, sorry about that. If you can call back on a real, actual live telephone that isn't Verizon or Ma Bell or anything, even one that has those little holes that you poke your fingers through when you just go, please do. Well, that's a shame. And actually, I know I'm making a lot of fun, and Iz's show is a lot more serious than the stuff I do here, and more power to him. And he was telling me, like last week, what the show was going to go into and entail. I mean, there are high schools, apparently, and junior high schools, middle schools, on Long Island where they have these clubs for the purposes of sexual entertainment, where these kids, 12, 13, 14, 15, etc., have sex, oral sex, which I guess in the Clinton era is not considered actual sex, and that's their way of being cool now, as opposed, I guess, to smoking, which is probably still the premier dangerous way of being cool, only it's probably too expensive for teenagers now, or drinking, which can be hard to do during the daytime. So it doesn't take much to go into a small room with another person and get your pants down, so that's kind of, I guess, the new way of proving yourself. And the spread of God knows what diseases are spreading because of this, and who knows how this is going to turn out. And I'm also vamping to hope that Iz is calling back, which I think, oh, brother, I wouldn't be surprised if Iz's phone line was provided by WGBB Radio. Anyway, Iz, if you can't call back, if you can't get on in like the next 5 minutes or so, I want to wish you... Wait! Behold! Iz Crespo, are you back? I've entered... By the way, thank you, Engineer Tom. I haven't mentioned him all. I was going to at the end, but thank you,
Dave,
Engineer Tom, for filling in so well and so...
Dave?
Yeah?
Hi, I'm back.
Welcome back, Iz.
Hi, I'm sorry about that. I went to a low area. I'm actually traveling home from a family event.
No, hold on, dude. Dude, are you driving?
No, I'm on the side of the road on the
Good.
Southern state. I got off the highway, and I'm stopped, and my car is off.
Yes, thank you. Very good boy Iz Crespo. Thank you very much.
I try to be as innocent and angelic as I can.
Yeah, although you are currently getting head from a 13-year-old, is that correct?
Well,
that's just the tragus at the bottom of your car.
Actually, what do you call a lesbian dinosaur, Dave?
I don't know. What do you call a lesbian dinosaur, Iz?
Lick-a-lot-a-puss.
Oh, jeez. You know, Tom, the dump button still works. We are on 7-second delay here, or 10-second, or whatever the delay thing. And what I want folks also to realize is if you did listen to Iz's show, no offense, Iz, you're up the air now, I can say this. You were kind of grim and serious on the air. You were like, just like, and, you know, reading the thing, and like this and this, and then mothers against our own dead kids, and then you would get off the air, and you would be like this complete freak. And nobody would get that except the people here. So
yeah.
Now you can let your freak flag fly. Let's hear you.
I don't know if I could say some of the things that I would really have liked to say on my show.
Well, I mean, that dinosaur joke was I wouldn't even make that joke on here, but thank you for doing that.
Oh, well, you're welcome. You know, I might as well get the last licks now because...
Lick being the operative term, yeah.
Yeah, lick being the operative term, of course. But, my show was grim and very serious and very... But you know what? No one else had, I guess, the gore, for lack of a better word, to really address these issues. And these are some of the issues...
If only
really,
we had the gore in the White House to address it. Well, anyway, yeah.
That's true. We do need gore at the White House, you know. And by the way, as you
Leslie Gore, not Al. I mean, he was incompetent, too. But Leslie Gore, sorry.
Yeah. But like you were saying before, I mean, most people do believe we're still in the Clinton era because some people don't... think that oral sex, I mean, come on, if you're getting it on and it's oral, I mean, you can contract an STD or an STI or with being in a sexually
what's an STI?
STI is a sexually transmitted infection versus a sexually transmitted disease.
Got it.
Infections you can fight, diseases you really can't. And that's including HIV. I mean, God forbid, you're getting some oral action there and someone has a cut in their mouth and they happen to be HIV positive. It's ridiculous. You run the risk. I mean, the penis, it does have mucous membranes, so there's an easy way to contract AIDS or HIV or any other STI or STD. So it's really crazy. I mean, some people do not believe that oral sex is sex, but you know what? If you have two organs going and getting at it and there's an exchange of bodily fluids, I'm sorry, but that's sex.
Wow. Okay.
Not that I don't get enough of it, but...
Thank you for sharing.
Well, see, you wanted the real me to come out.
Well, not in that way, but anyway, thank you. So are you getting any Iz Crespo? No.
No,
go ahead, tell
absolutely
us.
Not. Absolutely not.
Let me ask you before I've got to let you go. And I'm also hoping that that Don Lewis will call in from Entertainment Long Island. If he might have a fare or someone he's taking somewhere. But if he isn't, then he can get to us in like the next 5 minutes. I'd love to get him on the air too. But Iz, what are you going to be up to in the weeks ahead, the months ahead?
I'm going to still actively pursue On the Edge and see where else I can be picked up, and being picked up meaning the show, not being picked up on the street as I'm parked here.
Right.
But
you wouldn't mind, Uga. Yeah.
Hey, only you would know that, Dave.
Thank you.
Because Dave's gone by. But anyway.
No. It's BY. It's BY, dude.
No, it's BI. No, but no, I'm going to continue pursuing my topics. I mean, I work for Bias Help of Long Island.
You work for whom?
Bias Help of Long Island, where we deal with hate crime victims and issues of discrimination and HIV and AIDS and stuff like that. So I'm going to continue to do my work, pursue my master's degree. I'm contemplating my master's degree at Columbia or back at my alma mater at Fordham University.
My wife's a PhD soon to be at Fordham and also student teaching there. So yeah.
She must be just as fabulous as I am, then.
Yeah.
Perhaps more.
A little better in bed, but that, we'll get to that later.
Anyway. Hey, you haven't tried me yet, so you can't compare.
Ah, the truth comes out, so now everybody knows. All right.
Exactly.
But one day is.
No.
If you ever want to be on my show again, yeah. Anyway, okay. So what else do you want to... Well, I've got about a minute and a half, 2 more minutes in this segment. What do you want to tell the people... You can even be serious if you want to.
Well, you know what? Unfortunately, we lost a great deal of creative, energetic, and really passionate and dedicated people to issues and shows. I mean, Joe Salzell Live with
That's actually sticking around, by the way.
Joe's
going to be on Saturdays 7:30. He's actually going to be doing more at the station now than he was, 48 hours ago. So,
Of course, then I just probably got, canned and
well, because you were terrible.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
I must have been telling the truth, goddammit, because someone had it out for somebody else. And when you do tell them the truth, they don't like it, so whatever. I can go elsewhere where my work will be appreciated. But if the station would invite me back, I would be more than happy to do so, only because I am passionate about the issues. And, Dave, if you're going to stick around, your show is great.
It's
great comic relief. Seriously.
Thank you.
And if the people don't, I mean, if anyone would have the opportunity to meet Dave. He's not bi, that's number one, but
he's
great. He has a great sense of humor, and I wish Dave's Gone By, the show, of course, the best of luck, and I give you my blessings. We'll stick around. We'll do lunch.
We'll do lunch.
I'll come on the show one day. We'll tell more jokes.
Okay. Is good luck to you. Please keep in touch. I've got about a minute and a half to talk to someone else who is at this radio station before I do a wrap-up thing. Now, who else could this person be? Hello? Who's on the line there?
Oh, my.
Keep talking.
Who could it be?
Gee, that voice sounds familiar. Would this, by any chance, be a person named Paul?
Yes.
Paulie, how you doing?
It's your lovable, huggable engineer.
How's it going, Paul?
It goes. I just figured I'd call in and see what's going on.
Well, so far, I mean, it's been a rather quiet day. We've been playing CDs and mini discs here most of the day because everything cleared out. But I'm here live for another couple of minutes, and I want to thank you so much for calling. So tell people really quickly what you're going to be doing, in the days ahead, dude.
Oh, I didn't know if you were talking to me or someone else.
No, Iz was on the phone before you, but...
Okay. Yeah, I can't quite get the signal where I am.
Of course not. You're probably three blocks away.
I left the parking lot. What can I say?
Yeah. So, but are things... What are you going to do over the next couple of weeks, Paul? And, Paul, I want to thank you publicly. I was going to do that, I already did early on the show, but thank you publicly for all your support and wonderful work on my show over the past few months. But please, tell people where they can... what you're going to be up to.
Well, I'm going to be at another facility. There's two stations in New York, New York City itself, and another station upstate New York that I've got some business to take care with.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I'll be making a cameo once or twice back at GBB.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever need, an emergency engineer or something like that, please come on in. I would love to have you back and on the air, behind the board, whatever, under me. That whole oral sex thing just got me so hyped up. It's really what I need.
Well, you need a new internship.
Exactly. Folks, Dave's Gone By at AOL.com if you want to be an intern in that capacity. Anyway, Paul, thank you very, very much for calling in. I'm going to have to wrap this up the show and do my finishing segment.
Well, according to my clock, you've got under 7 minutes, so you better hurry.
Exactly. So, Paul, thank you for calling in. Folks, there's no commercial after this. I'm just going to go right into a little bit of music from, a little appropriate music from Phil Oakes.
Sit by my side, come as close as the air, and share in a memory of grace, and wander in my world. Dream about the pictures that I play, of changes, green leaves of summer turn red in the fall. Brown and to yellow they fade, and then they have to die. Trapped within the circle time parade of changes. scenes of my young years were warm in my mind. Visions of shadows that shine till one day I returned and found they were the victims of the vines of changes. The world spinning madly, it drifts in the dark, swings through a hollow of haze, a race around the stars, journey through the universe ablaze with changes.
Turn and face the strange changes at WGBB this first day of June, a weird transitional time. I'm still around for however long, doing the Dave's Gone By thing. More music, more comedy, more talk radio. Time for some thank yous to my guests on the phone, Israel Crespo and, of course, Engineer Paul. Bless you both for your good wishes. And, Paul, of course, thank you so much for everything you've done. I want to thank Engineer Tom today. And pitching in, first time he's ever done this show, and he's done it perfectly, go figure, with half the equipment that we used to have here. Final one sad thank you to station manager Joey and Paul, too, the folks who guided this show and made me feel special for the past 8 months. Anyone who's spent any time at this radio station during the past 8 years knows just how much they've both been a part of everything this station has tried to be and could have been. What will be? I don't know, but I should be back next week, 8 o'clock Sunday night, same for the whole month of June, pretty much. But once more, if you want to know for sure, email me at davesgoneby@aol.com or check the show's website, hometown.aol.com/davesgoneby. It's also the place to find out about how to sponsor or advertise on the program, how to buy cassettes of previous Dave's Gone By episodes. You can see some pictures of me on the website and many of the guests who've been on the program read the song lyrics of some of the musical travesties we've committed here. It's a great site, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. If you forget the URL, just go to Google, www.google.com, and search for Dave's Gone By. It'll be right up top. Or you can find it on some of the other search engines, but you have to put the words in quotes, and it might not be at the top. But it's easy to find Dave's Gone By, or go right to it, hometown.aol.com/Dave's Gone By. Thank you to my wife and lifeline, Joyce, for her love and support this difficult week. Thank all of you for listening to and supporting the show. I want you to tune in next Sunday at 8. Yes, barring unforeseen watchamawatsits, I'll be here with another edition of Dave's Gone By. I'll be talking theater, we'll do the news gone by, maybe a song or two. Onward, ever onward. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Goodbye, Joey and Paul and Iz and Don and Mike and whoever else. And gone by. Tomorrow's sky.